Let's take our Bibles this morning, John chapter 18, please. Thank you for being here. We have some visitors with us today, each one of you that are visiting. We pray that you'll be very much welcome, that you'll come back and be with us each and every time you can. We had a lady that visited with us on Wednesday night. I think her name was Lavana. Am I saying that right, Miss Eve? And she said, "You all made me feel so welcome." Well, that's the way it ought to be in the house of God. Amen. And so just pray and make our visitors welcome. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for the sake of time, but we'll be touching in areas throughout the chapter today. We preach on John 17, Jesus' prayer, intercessory prayer on Wednesday night. And if you were here Wednesday night and you believe God met with us, would you say amen?
Amen.
God met with us in a special way. In John 18 and verse number 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Now, if you will, go across the page, or depending on how your Bible's laid out, just go down with me to verse number 36. Jesus is answering Pilate here. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, this is my text for today. He asked a question. There are several questions asked in this chapter. Pilate is asking Jesus this question, what is truth? That's what got my attention as I studied this chapter, and I believe God's going to build the message today around that question. What is truth? If someone asks you that question, how would you answer it? What is truth? What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault. I find in him no fault." Look at those last two words, "at all." Boy, not one little speck. Pilate said, "I cannot find in examining this man one thing that's wrong." But he said, "You have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Please be seated. Please remember me in prayer and remember this service in prayer that God would have his way. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here at Bible Way, to be in the house of God. And Lord Jesus, it's our prayer, our petition, that you would honor us with your presence. You already have in the service, Lord, the singing, the choir singing, the special singing, the fellowship. Lord, if I had one word to describe it, it would be sweet. It's been sweet to be in the house of God. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would just meet with us now, clothe us in our calling and help us, Lord, and God will give you glory because, Lord, you're the only one that is worthy, that's ever been worthy or ever will be worthy. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is truth? Let me lay a little bit of groundwork today. I believe there's something going on in the world today where there's a contest, so to speak, going on between something that's called relative truth and something that would be called absolute truth. Now, being a Christian, being a child of God, if someone asks me what is truth, or is there such a thing as absolute truth, my answer would be, without hesitation, yes. There is something called absolute truth. Somebody said, what is it? I think the best way to answer Bible questions is with a Bible. I believe the Bible has all the answers to the questions that mankind could come up with. So my answer to the question, what is truth? First of all, I would say the Word of God is truth. Jesus said in John 17, as he prayed for his disciples and prayed for us as well, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Word of God said over in John 15, where we've already been, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. I believe that God in the Bible, this King James Bible that I have in front of me, said exactly what he meant and meant exactly what he said. Any subject you want to take up, you can look at it in the Word of God and find the truth. I would like for you, just by way of introduction, to go with me to Psalm 11. The Lord put this in my heart while that you all were still in Sunday school this morning. I want you to look at Psalm 11 with me. David got in a place, and in this place, he's having trouble out of Saul. Saul is hunting him down like a dog. Saul is jealous of David. And in Psalm 11, the Bible said, in the Lord put I my trust. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, that's the only safe place to put your trust, is in the Lord. He said, how say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. Can I say this? The wicked are still bending their bow. We still have an enemy. We still, beloved, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. The Bible said, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Now look at verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? David, a man after God's own heart, listen, you may not be able to see this, but God's already given it to me in my spirit. What he's saying here is, if there is no absolute truth, what are we going to do? If the foundations, listen, we're in a mess in this world and in this country. I mean, it hasn't been too long ago that they were trying to teach children that 2 + 2 was not necessarily 4. It's how you really come up with the answer that counts. But let me just say something. There's 2 testaments in this hand, 2 testaments in that hand, and as long as time has been, as long as time will ever be, and throughout eternity, 2 + 2 will be 4. I don't care what you say about it. Say amen. And you say, preacher, I don't understand. The foundations be destroyed. Let me just say this. The Bible said that the heavens and the earth are going to melt with fervent heat. How many believes that? Well, Brother Rose, I believe every Bible at that time will melt. If it's going to melt the rocks and the mountains, it'll be plenty hot enough to melt this book. Well, David asked the question, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Look at verse 4. He said, the Lord is in his holy temple. He said, the Lord's throne. It's in heaven. Now somebody tell me where this book is settled. Amen. In other words, it's not just the pages, but God has preserved his word in. But God's word is forever settled in heaven and will forever be absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I was reading today. I can't remember the statistics exactly. I didn't write it down. But I was reading early this morning. I believe it added up to about 60% of people believe that Muslims and Jews and Christians and name the rest of them, pray to the same God. I'm talking about the 60% are not people pulled in off the street. People that profess to be born again Christians. If we're not careful, you'll swallow a lie. Amen. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, you're being dogmatic, just as dogmatic as the Bible is. And that's where our authority comes from. That's why God's men are not afraid to preach, because we understand it's not our word. It's not our opinion. It's the word of God. And it's what God said. I'm going to tell you something. Pilate knows today what truth is. He asked Jesus, what is truth? But I promise you that today, Pilate knows what truth is. I promise you today that when Pilate tried to wash that off of his hands, that beloved, listen, water can't wash off the sin in a man's life. It takes the blood of Jesus that he's fixing to shed on Calvary's cross to wash away our sin. Share a couple of things with you and we'll get right into the message. An estimated 74% of Americans strongly agree that there's only one true God who is holy and perfect, who created the world and rules it today. An estimated 65% either strongly agree or somewhat agree with the assertion that there is no such thing as absolute truth. No such thing as absolute truth. I want to tell you something, beloved. Surely you don't believe that. Surely you don't believe that. Surely you believe that God gave us a book and that that book is trustworthy and that we're going to stand before God one day and be judged according to this book. Amen? One person said it like this. Said, once when a stubborn disputer seemed unconvinced, Abraham Lincoln said, well, let's see how many legs has a cow. I believe Lincoln was pretty bright. This would have fit in this generation real good. Four, of course, came the reply disgustedly. That's right, said Lincoln. Now suppose you call the cow's tail a leg. How many legs would the cow have? Why, five, of course, came the confident reply. Lincoln said, now that's where you're wrong. He said, calling a cow's tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Calling something an alternate lifestyle does not make it okay. Calling something choice does not make it okay. Is anybody home? Calling something good as long as the state and the government can get the revenue off of it, I'm talking about the wine, the beer, the liquor crowd now, does not make it right. God has given us an absolute truth in the Word of God. An absolute truth. I believe with all of my heart, God wants to speak to our hearts this morning about this subject. What is truth? What is truth? There's five things I want to look at in the chapter. We may not get to all of them this morning, but I want to get to at least a couple. The first thing I want to look at is the truth concerning Jesus and his praying or his prayer life. Look at it with me in verse number 1 again. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus, what's that next word? Oft times resorted there with his disciples. Judas, in this chapter and in this Bible, appears to be a friend of Christ in many places at many different times. But it's fixing to be revealed that Judas is not a friend of Christ or a friend of truth, but he is an enemy of Christ and an enemy of truth. Let me say this morning. The enemy knows whether you and I have a place that we often resort thither to. Jesus, in the temptation, when the devil came to him in the wilderness and tempted him on three occasions, he went back to this: it is written, it is written, it is written. Why didn't Jesus try to stand on his own? Because he even knew in the flesh, on his own, he was no match for Satan. You and I without prayer, you and I without the Word of God, are absolutely no match for the devil and the enemy that goes about, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We see the truth concerning Jesus and his praying. I want you to see this. The truth concerning Jesus and his power. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 5 down through verse number 7. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, in verse number 4, he said, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto him, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he. Somebody tell me the next three words. They went backward and fell to the ground. I want to go ahead and blend the second thing and the third thing together in the message. We're going to see here the truth concerning Jesus and his power, and the truth concerning Jesus and his people. Jesus in John chapter 17 said, none of them is lost but the son of perdition. He said, preacher, why are you bringing this in? When the Bible talks about in the next few verses here, a band of men. Well, excuse me. It would have been in verse number 3. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. This is nothing like I pictured it in my mind. Beloved, listen. When it's talking about a band of men, that's a tenth part of a Roman legion, and it would have been from 400 to 600 men that's come with staves, that's come with swords, that's come with lanterns, and that's besides the Jews that were with them. This wasn't 10 or 12 men that come to arrest Jesus. They come to get the job done. Now listen, you can say whatever you want to, but I believe the Lord has showed me this. Beloved, listen, when the Bible said Jesus said, I am he, and they fell backwards, I believe Judas was in that crowd and fell with them. The power of the Word of God. You say that was the Word of Jesus. The Word of Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glories of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Beloved friend, Jesus, His power. You say, preacher, why is it important? Here's why it's important. The Lord wants us to know that they did not have power over Jesus in that garden when they came to arrest him. That's why Jesus said, they're not going to take my life. I'm going to give my life. Beloved, that's why that Jesus, when the time was right, could say, it is finished, and yield up the ghost. Because the power was not in their hands. The power was in his heart. He chose to die. He willingly died for you and died for me. What is truth? The truth concerning Jesus and his praying. The truth concerning Jesus and his power. The truth concerning Jesus and his people. We see the protection of his people. Look in verse number 8. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Now listen, you got to get a picture of it. these men standing beside of Jesus are in grave danger. Let me just say this to you. If you're saved this morning, there was a time when you were in grave danger as well. If you're not saved this morning, you're still at a time in your life where you're in grave danger. You say, preacher, what are you trying to magnify? Here's the truth. Jesus came between them and the danger. He said, it's me you're looking for. Let these go. Thank God, when the devil came, tried to convince me to sit still. Stay right where you're at. You don't need to admit that. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never be saved till you admit you're lost. You'll never be a saint till you admit you're a sinner. You'll never be forgiven until you admit that you're fallen. You're a fallen man, fallen into sin. There's protection for his people. That ought to bless our hearts this morning. That's the truth. That's the only reason. Listen, not only before I got saved, I believe he preserved my life. I know he did. I could tell you times I come that close to dying before I ever got saved. And he took care of me. I'm going to tell you something else. He's took care of me since I got saved too. He's took care of me that I didn't ruin my testimony. There's sometimes that a preacher wants to give somebody the truth and the word of God, and there's other times that a preacher wants to give somebody that right there. Somebody say amen. You say, preacher, are you boasting? No, I'm saying I got flesh. And it's the grace of God that when the flesh wanted to rear its ugly head, the Spirit of God came by. God between me and the danger. Danger of ruining my testimony. The danger of ruining my life. And then, if you'll notice this morning, not only is there a truth concerning Jesus and his people that pertains to the protection of his people, but I want you to look at the plan for his people. Notice with me, if you will, in verse number 15. I learned something going through here this time. I think it should be that way, but sometimes I'm almost embarrassed that I didn't see it before. Is anybody like that? The Bible said in Simon Peter, in verse number 15, followed Jesus. And so did, watch this, another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest. Now, I can't prove this, but judging by the way that it's worded in other places in the book of John, I believe this is John, that other disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he went in with Jesus into the place or the palace of the high priest. I've always known, Brother Joe, that John went with Jesus to the cross. But John went with Jesus to the trial too, I believe. I believe that John loved him so, Brother Sam. Peter said it. Peter said, I'll give my life. Jesus says that, right? He said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. John didn't say it, but John was an example in that he was willing to stay by the side. Let me just say this, and I'm not trying to be cute or funny or smart, but there's a lot of people that want to stay by Jesus' side until the going gets tough. Beloved, this is a mockery of a trial. And the going is fixing to get tough. And right there's John. I'm talking about Jesus, the truth concerning him and his people. Watch this now. But Peter stood at the door without, and then went out that other disciple which was known to the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. He brought him in. Come on in here, Peter. So Peter comes in. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. J- Chicken Little kicked in. Let me tell you something right now. The Word of God is always right. The Word of God is always truth. The Word of God is always absolute truth. And when the Word of God said, let every man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, he knew what he was talking about. I was watching a college World Series game the other night. Maybe you saw it. I don't remember. Louisville was playing somebody. I don't even remember who right now. I got interested. It's getting close to the end of the College World Series. The boys are playing good ball. And this pitcher had struck out 10 batters in the first 8 innings. And when he came off the mound at the end of the 8th inning, there was vulgarity coming out of his mouth. Maybe somebody was taunting him. I don't know. But he was cocky. He was vulgar. You could read his lips very easily as to what he was saying. Brother Brian and I had been texting each other back and forth. And I texted Brother Brian a verse with a little twist to it. I texted Brother Brian this. I said, pride goeth before a bad inning, and a haughty spirit before a loss. You know what the Bible said? Don't pay no attention to a man if it don't come true. He come up in the 9th inning, and the team they were playing against beat him. Knocked him out of the game, and they beat him. There are people in this world that are full of themselves. But I'm going to tell you something right now. What God wants us to be is full of truth. The Word of God. God wants us to know, listen, Peter was one of God's men. And Peter in this chapter is going to deny Jesus. The Bible said here, it was cold and they warmed themselves and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. I'm just going to stop and say this morning. This is the reason your pastor will never be a member of a secret society. I'm going to stand here and say it. Do not believe it's of God. I don't know who is and who ain't. It don't matter. The truth's still the same. If I speed and I deserve a ticket, I deserve a ticket. I don't deserve to get out of a ticket because I know a certain handshake. Jesus said, in secret have I done nothing. Watch this now. The Bible said here, why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. He said, I've been preaching it. I've been teaching it. What have I said unto them? Behold, they know what I said. Let me tell you something right now, I believe. I believe people that sit in churches like this and die without God and go to hell, one day Jesus will look at them and say, you know what I said. You heard what I said. You played with fire and you got burned. You gambled and you lost. Beloved, there's young people that are breaking my heart today because they are rejecting truth and they're going their own way. But there'll come a day when the Lord will say, you knew the truth. I sent you the truth. I gave you the truth. The truth. What does it reveal? It reveals the protection of God's people. But it also reveals the plan for God's people. Let's read on quickly. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had
sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Beloved, let me tell you something. You better be careful which fire you're gathered around. Because this world does have a fire. Somebody say amen. This world will set your lust and set your flesh on fire. But you better gather around God's fire. You better gather around the truth. The Word of God said, he denied it. Art thou not one of also of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest in verse 26, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Now you can understand, beloved, if it was 8 or 10 men that came to arrest Jesus and all he had with him was his disciples, there would be no question, you're one of them. But there was so many in that Roman garrison. There was so many that there was confusion. It was night. It was dark. So he asked the question, didn't I see you over there with Jesus? What's Peter say? Peter then denied again. And what's that next word? Immediately. Immediately. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're trying to magnify right here. Let me give you this. God's trying to help somebody this morning. Peter, in this chapter, has failed God miserably. He has not lived up to his testimony. He has not lived up to his faith. And I dare say, if we took an honest assessment and gave people an opportunity, that all of us as God's people, if we'd be honest and say, there was a time when I failed God miserably. I did not live up to my faith. I did not live up to the name of Christ. But God's wanting us to know he has a plan in mind. Failure is not final. He's given us hope. And even when we've been by the wrong fire, and even when we've denied him, listen to me carefully. I personally think most of us would never even think of denying him with our mouth. But our actions will deny him. Our words will deny him. Somebody help me right here. Our thought processes will deny him. And God is wanting us to know here, there's a truth concerning Jesus and his praying, concerning Jesus and his power, but there's a truth here concerning Jesus and his people. Failure is not final. There's forgiveness, there's faith, and there's a future that God has in mind. Jesus right here, you say, preacher, Jesus must have been all awful disappointed. Well, look at it like this. He already said it's going to happen. I believe that Peter was awfully disappointed. I believe when that cock crew, he said, oh my Savior's got my number. How many's ever been there? Say amen. My Savior's got my number. I said of a young man this morning, he can run, but he can't hide. You can't hide. I cannot hide from the God that sees all and knows all. But watch this. Jesus had said to Peter, Peter, when thou art converted, he said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Well, guess what? He desires that of you too. My children too. My grandchildren too. But he said, when you are converted. But he said, I've prayed for thee. Don't let me leave that out. He said, I've prayed for thee. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He said, now preacher, what are you trying to say here? Jesus, listen, come back over in John chapter 13. Y'all remember it? The Bible said, having loved his own, he loved them till the end. There's a glitch in Peter's faith right here. But let me say something to you that ought to bless your heart. There'll never be a glitch in Jesus' love. There'll be a glitch sometimes in our life, but there will never be a glitch in His love. I've said this before. We're going to close in just a moment. But if it were up to Pastor Randall, if I had to choose a man to preach on the day of Pentecost, it sure wouldn't have been Peter. I would have got John. Is anybody with me? I mean, I would have said, well, I just believe John. He went with me to court. He went with me to Calvary. He leaned on my bosom in the upper room. He went with me into the garden over and over and over and over to pray. I believe I'll just get John. But I can say this humbly and honestly. I'm glad Jesus don't think like I do. Amen. He said, I'm going to get Peter to stand up. And he's going to have a boldness, Brother Thurman. He's going to have such faith. He ain't even going to worry about dying on that day. He's just going to stand up. And what's he going to do? He's going to start in that Old Testament. And he's going to bring them right up to where they are. And he's going to leave them there with the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, pricking their hearts. Amen. Didn't bother Peter a bit. And 3,000 men are going to get saved at one time on the day of Pentecost. You want to know why? Because there's a God that loves His own. And He's going to love them all the way till the end. Peter, that day when he stood up, was not full of himself. When Peter drew that sword, Brother Steve, and cut that servant's ear off, that was self. Jesus put that ear right back on. Wonder how they dealt with that. You can say what you want to, buddy, but if you cut my finger off and somebody else comes up here and sticks it back on, it don't need stitches, it don't need any, I'm going to be pretty impressed by that. I have one finger that's pointed. Can y'all tell that finger's pointed? I got it caught between a chain and a cog on a lawnmower when I was about 10 years old. Lawnmower was going up a hill, and it wouldn't go up a hill anymore. And I was smart enough, had enough knowledge to be dangerous, that a bicycle, when the chain gets loose, it'll climb the cog. So I said, maybe the chain's loose on this thing. I reached down and put my finger under the chain to check the tension. And when I did, I let off the brake, and it rolled back around the cog. Everything was fine. Daddy, I showed my daddy I wasn't crying, 10 years old. It's hanging there. Everything was fine. I said, Daddy, I've cut my finger. He said, son, go wash it off a little bit. He was talking to a man about a job. He said, I'll take you to the doctor. I went in, put it under the water, and it fell off and went down the drain. Everything wasn't fine anymore. I got sick in my stomach. I didn't want my finger. I had great hopes. If you cut my ear off and it fell down on the ground, I don't think everything would be fine. But Jesus made it fine just in a moment of time. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. There's such a thing as absolute truth. We're seeing the truth in this chapter concerning Jesus and His prayer life. If He needs to pray, we do too. Concerning Jesus and His people. Peter's failure was not final. God was going to use him. In the book of Acts early on, there's a man begging at the temple. He's begging alms of Peter and John. I just realized, man, they're still together, ain't they? By the grace of God, they're still together. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the word of God said, he went leaping through the temple. If God has saved us, at least we could give him a holy grunt every once in a while. Amen. Be excited about knowing the God of heaven and that we know we have absolute truth. There's a plan for God's people. You say, preacher, what does that mean for us? Let me give you this. How many believes that in Peter's life right here, it happened just like Jesus said it would. Everybody's got that. Well, one day, Brother Joe, the Bible said he went up on a cloud. And the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen go into heaven is so coming in like manner." You know what he said, Brother Joe? "He's coming after us." And just like he told Peter what he was going to do and it happened, he told us what he's going to do. And beloved, you say, "Well, preacher, it ain't happened." No, but it will. It will. How do you know? Because he said it would happen. Amen? Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, here's the absolute truth. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And the only way to shun hell and gain heaven is Jesus. You say, "Preacher, I believe in God." Here's what the Bible said. The devils also believe and tremble. We have to come to Jesus. To God, through Jesus, there's no other way. He's the mediator between God and man. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. But my, have I failed him." Let me just say this. You're in good company. Just remember, failure is not final. God, I love the song. Maybe somebody pick it up and sing it. I'm not sure if we've heard it around here. Not sure if we have. It's been a long time. Where it talks about the clay. Over and over, he molds me and makes me. Into his likeness, he fashions the clay. How many knows the song I'm talking about? I love it. Somebody pick it up and sing it. He's the potter. We're the clay. And I tell you this morning, beloved, we need to submit to the potter's hand. Failure is not final. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, in a generation where truth is relative, may God's people understand and know and realize that your truth will never be relative, but it's absolute. I pray, dear Father, this morning that you would help us in this invitation. Help us to be honest. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.